And welcome once again to K-Pop Cosmos. I am your host, Freya, and joining me once again is Mark. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm good, Freya. How are you doing today?
I'm doing peachy. So I'm actually kind of excited for today's group. They're actually talked about a lot, or at least mentioned in a lot of shows in Korean media, and that would be Sistar. So Sistar is one of those groups. They're a four-member girl group that debuted on June 3rd, 2010. So they are borderline. They're technically a second-generation K-pop group. But they're like borderline. So, you know, really depends on who you talk to. But they are second generation if you watch like their first music video, and they debuted with the song Push Push, and so if you watch that music video, you can completely tell that it's a second generation girl group, because they kind of have all those second generation styles. And so the members of the group are Hyorin, Bora, Soyu, and Dasom. And this group, they were active until 2017, and they disbanded due to reasons. And a lot of the girls have gone, and well, all of them are now doing their own things. So what did you think of the group, Mark?
Well, they definitely earned a special place in my heart for debuting on my birthday. So automatically, I'm gonna tuck them away with my top favorite K-pop groups just for that alone. But I wasn't really too familiar with them other than one of their later releases that I'm sure we're gonna get to. Touch My Body was like the one song that I was like, oh, okay, now this is a Sistar song that I'm down with. Even though I've heard of them, and you know, their popularity is kind of inescapable. There wasn't any of their songs that I was really, really checking for, except for when Touch My Body came out. And that song was just, I just couldn't get away from that song. It was all over the place.
Yeah, that is one of their best songs, in my opinion. Also, it is that song in particular. If people know Family Guy, that's the music video that was playing in the episode when they're in South Korea. So that's the group. They are a real group. They didn't just do that. It's a legit thing. So, and they quickly developed into their own thing. Because when people think of Sistar, they think of like sexy K-pop, because that's kind of their thing. There is so, if you like butts and just legs and stuff, then they are the group for you, because like all of their music videos have close-ups of their butts and their legs, and they show off their legs a lot. And it's honestly, it's kind of fantastic. My main problem with girl groups is the overly cutesiness of them. Yeah. And that's why I don't really like them. But this one, I think the whole, and I may be wrong, and I'm sorry, but this is what I got out of it. But the vibe I was getting from this group is their whole like image was supposed to be that like, how to explain it? The sexy older sister, you know, when you're, I'm not a guy, so I don't really know exactly, but I understand like you have an older sibling, and like they have a friend that's just like, you have a crush on, and that's the kind of vibe I got from it, because they did like these older mature themes, but then they also have these like going outside and having fun, but still mature type of stuff. So they were really pushing the mature woman vibe on everything. Because I don't remember any like music videos where they're in cheerleading outfits or anything like that. The closest one that I can compare to would be, I think, one of their first ones, was it, I think it was like How Dare You or Shady Girl. Shady Girl, they're flight attendants, but in one of them, they're kind of wearing like these sailor kind of outfits. I can't remember which music video it was, but it's one of their earlier ones. And that's the most cutesy they've gotten. And even then, they're doing close-ups of their legs and stuff. But, but yeah, I think that's...
I never really... For some reason, I picked up on the fact that they like the camera loves to show their butts, like even when they're not dancing, even when they're barely moving, the camera's like, hey, look at their butts, here it is. But it never occurred to me that they also show their legs a lot. And now that I'm looking back on it, yeah, you get to see they really pay attention to or they really focus a lot of attention on their legs. You very rarely don't see them in high heels. It's always like long shots of their legs, and I just realized that now.
Yeah, and I believe the music video that you can really, really tell with the leg thing is it's Alone, I believe. And they're like wearing these red dresses, and then they're wearing the black dresses with the red heels, and they have the slits all the way up. Like, because that was definitely like, hey, check out our legs. Music video. Honestly, even without watching the music videos, I enjoyed their music because it was kind of that, like, it was some of them, like I said, it's fun, but not like cutesy fun. It's that mature kind of saucy type of fun, if that makes any sense.
Saucy is a great description.
Yeah. So it is what it is. And also this group has a nickname of Queens of Summer. Which I actually didn't know until I delved deeper into this group. And they're called Queens of Summer because they always came back. Their comebacks were almost always, in June to August. So summertime. And they had a lot of hits from that. So it's like, so they became the Queens of Summer because they always had summer comebacks. And, you know, I actually like that nickname. It's fun. It's unique. Instead of people like, oh, there are queens. I'm like, well, there are queens of summertime. I'm like, okay, I can go jump on board.
Yeah, there is a thing with K-pop where they do like to release the summer songs. And you can see it in all of the groups. You know, summertime comes, there's a video of that group, usually on a beach somewhere, you know, the nice upbeat song. But it's really cool that they did it constantly so that no matter what group is going to come out with a summer song, Sistar is going to be the queens of the summer songs. So I think that's actually pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And was there any like particular music videos? You said that you liked Touch My Body, but were there any others that you kind of liked? Just maybe not the just for like the video itself, or maybe one that was just like musically but not lyrically.
Yeah. I'm going to. so my first. Interaction with Sistar was not actually with Sistar. It was with their subunit, Sistar 19. There was a show that I used to watch back when I was first getting into K-pop. It was a K-pop video reaction show. And I was these two guys. I can't remember the name of the show for the life of me. But what they would do is get bottles of soju, and they would watch a video. And they had like a 6-point checklist. You know, will this video have a wink? Will this video have a choreographed dance? And like a whole bunch of categories. But one of the six categories was body roll. And when they did an example of body roll, they showed the clip from Sistar 19 My Boy video. And I didn't know who they were. I didn't have any context of what that video was, but that little like half a second clip, I was like, I must find this video. I must know who these girls are doing this body roll. And for years it plagued me. I could never, there's no way I could figure out like who that was. until one day Girls' Generation, Sunny did a cover of My Boy, and I'm like, oh, okay. there's a starting point. I know the name of the song. Now I just got to find it. And yeah, so my first contact with Sistar was Sistar 19, My Boy. And that video, I've watched that video a gazillion times, even today. Years later, I still watch it all the time. I love that video.
Yeah, it is a great video. Their body rolls are just like hypnotizing.
Exactly. Hypnotizing. It's perfect.
Because when they're just so smooth, it's just how. And they're in heels. It's just, yeah, it's great. I liked their thing. And apparently that the body rolls or that dance was a TikTok thing. I don't have TikTok, but that's what I was noticing. Everyone's like, oh, are you here because, you know, the TikTok? I'm like, what the? So it was like a TikTok challenge or something. I was like, oh, okay. Well, this song came out in 2011, but all right, it's almost 10 years old, you know? But there's also another one that I actually didn't even know about this song. It was One More Day. Did you watch that one where they like murder the boyfriend?
Oh no, I didn't come across and that they're one.
Actually, and they're like lesbian lovers.
Whoa, I'm gonna make a note of that one right now. One More Day.
Yeah, Sistar, One More Day. I was like, holy cow, and like just the. With like Korean culture and stuff, I'm like, wow, that's a big thing they did with the lesbian stuff. So I was like, yeah, because their culture is not exactly as friendly to the LGBTQ community as, you know. And so I was like, that's bold of them. And this happened back in like 2016. So I was like, oh, shock. It was a great music video though. It was very good.
Nice. I will be looking for that one definitely.
Yeah, it was great. And honestly, they really did push the sexy thing. Because in like that, they're like cabaret dancers and stuff. It's just this group did pushed a lot of limits. What they were doing. Because and I appreciate that. Because once again, Korea has something called it's like a censorship committee. So if something's too scandalous or sexy or whatnot, they won't broadcast it. And I didn't even know they had a committee until I looked into it. And I was like, oh, they have a committee of people that make sure. And so like a lot of groups actually have, music videos that were never aired on TV, but they're thanks to YouTube, they're not afraid to like do these scandalous things because then they could just put it on YouTube. Yeah, I was like, geez, you know, and these are one of those groups. I'm like, I'm pretty sure most of their music videos probably didn't get aired, but you know, thanks to YouTube, they got a lot of views. And anyway, like I said before, because they disbanded. They're doing a lot of solo work. Like Hyorin is now, I believe she started her own company called, I'm assuming it's Birdie because it's BRID3. So I'm going to just go Birdie. Nice. And that's her own company. And she is now going by Hyorin. It's Hyolyn, and she's doing her own solo stuff after she left. And their company is Starship Entertainment, so they're from a small company, which them being as popular as they were, it's actually very shocking because the big three are the ones who have the popular groups, you know. Everyone else, you know, they're just kind of there. But yeah, they're from Starship Entertainment, and Starship Entertainment is kind of one of the bigger companies now. But anyway, Hyorin, her stuff is kind of, it's still poppy, but at the same time, it's a lot more I like her solo stuff a lot. The diversity in her music videos are fantastic, especially in like Bae. Also, her fan group, she calls them Bae. So cute. Everyone who's a fan is her Bae. But it's like she did a song Dali featuring Gray, and that song, that music video. Whew.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. That was one of my, that was another one of my first, like, I didn't know she was in Sistar. She's so popular from her solo stuff that I just thought she was a solo artist. And I'm like, yeah, she kind of looks like the girl from Touch My Body video. So I didn't really put two and two together, but yeah, her solo stuff is absolutely amazing. And that's one thing that I came across as I'm going through their group. I mean, they, because they're from a smaller label, I guess they were able to put out like a lot more stuff. It seems like they had a comeback, you know, every year, at least even a couple of times a year. But she also had like solo stuff while she was still with the group, which, I mean, you don't really see, at least I don't really see that a lot. And like her stuff is really popular and really good. So yeah, she's definitely the breakout star of that group.
Oh yeah, she definitely is, and she's killing it with a soloist. And she was like, I can do singing, and I can do the dancing, and I can do the rapping. I don't need, you know, a group to, you know, be successful, because she does everything, and it's great. And if you really want sexy stuff, she's definitely the soloist to go for, because she's still pop, but she's like the sexy pop. And then the other members. Soyu, she's also gone solo, and she is, but she's kind of she's like queen of the collaborations. Like, she has a lot of songs with other groups. She has a ton of collaborations. She's done a collaboration with Baekhyun from EXO, and you know, other groups. And but she seems to be more of like, instead of singing right now, she seems to be more doing like variety shows and emceeing. She's also in Produce 48 as a vocal trainer. So she's kind of more doing those types of shows currently. And then Dasum, she signed with another company. And as an actress, so she's now acting, and she actually won an award in 2017, the SBS Drama Award. She won Best New Actress for her role in Band of Sisters, and so she's not just doing TV dramas and variety shows, she's doing actual like movies, which is fantastic for her. So she's going to be in a lot of, like, if you like Korean shows, she's probably gonna be in a lot of them that you see and you just don't know it's her, you know? And but that's what happens with these K-pop. It's like being an idol is your entry-level position into the Korean entertainment industry. And then once your group stops its activities, then you become like the actress or the MC or the radio host or, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. So, and oh, and Bora, she's also, she's kind of doing a little bit less. She's acting, but she's not acting as much. And so, yeah, she kind of dropped off a little bit, Bora has. So maybe we'll see more of her, but I don't know. We'll see. Also, something I noticed with like the music videos, and I was laughing, is Shake It, and like I said before, trainees, there, a lot of them are backup dancers in music videos or in concerts in general. And you can see this because in Shake It, they have cameos from the boy group Monsta X when they were trainees. They have Woon-ho and Shownu in the music video with them. And it kind of cracks me up. And then also in one of their original debut music videos, Shady Girl, they actually have Heat Chul from Super Junior, and we'll talk about Super Junior in another show, but like Super Junior is huge, and they were huge, and so having Heat Chul from this mega group at the, you know, in their music debut Maze music video was a huge, huge thing. And it still is a huge thing because everyone loves Super Junior.
Yeah, I was going to say, and he's featured prominently in that video. It's not like a quick like cameo, like, oh, look, there's that guy. But he's like really featured in it. And I'm like, whoa, it's unusual that someone that big from that big of a label, I would think, would appear in a smaller label's video, especially right at the beginning. Like that, they weren't that deep into their debut when that video came out.
No, they were like, I think that was like the same year, wasn't it? Yeah, it was 2010. It was their debut year, and he was in their music video. And Heat Chul was from, for everyone who doesn't know, because we haven't talked about them, Heat Chul is, his group is from one of the big three. He's from SM. And so having one of the big three come to a nobody company is a huge, huge deal. And it's just amazing. And also in Shake It, they had a lot of, another thing I noticed is watching their music videos, a lot of their music videos had MCs from like TV shows. I don't remember their name, but I'm like, I know this guy from like Knowing Brothers, which is on Netflix. And I know this guy from another show. And this guy's from, I'm like, why do all these men look like someone I know? Like, oh, from a show. And they're even like prominent in Shake It, the main guy that's like harassing them with the purple vest with the long hair. I'm like, he's from Knowing Brothers and all these other things. He's a, you know, big old comedian. That one, I don't know. I felt like I was having kind of a trip, but like they had her. And that's why I said they got popular, it seems like, really fast, because all of a sudden they have all these cameos from all these big people, and it's just, it's insane.
You got to figure it's so cool to be like an MC of a show, of a variety show, where you're interviewing these huge pop stars like all of the time, and then you get to be in their video. You get to be a part of the lexicon of their story, even though you don't sing or dance or do any of that stuff. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I would be excited just to be a background person.
Exactly.
It would be fun. And yeah, it, also something I forgot to mention. So Sistar, with their company Starship Entertainment, they were the first ever group that they put out. Originally, they only had solo artists. So their very first group was Sistar, and it was a girl group. So that was a big deal. They were their first, I guess, and that was pretty awesome. And they did a fantastic job for never having a girl group before. You know, I was like, I don't know who they hired, but they killed it with this group.
That's probably why they have so many releases. Like, they didn't know that you shouldn't, like any other label, when their girl group debuts, they'll debut. And you know, maybe they'll have a B-side, and you probably won't see them again for another, I don't know, 7 months, 8 months, maybe not even till the next year. But Starship is like, all right, here's a song. A few months later, here's another song. All right, here's a subunit, even though we just debuted last year. So yeah, just because they're a new group, they probably just didn't know any better. I think that's awesome. Like, we're just gonna do whatever we want.
Yeah, they were the experimental group, and their experiment worked. And I don't know. I think it's very interesting to watch, like, from their growth, kind of like we did with like Shiny. I always have fun doing with these older groups, seeing their progress, because their original music video, it was like, oh God, it was like 46, you know, 46, I don't know. It was bad quality. 460p or something. I was like, oh, I remember these days, you know, the video is like small and square and it's kind of like glitchy. You're like, oh, this was so awesome back then. And they look, I don't even know what their fashion was, and they had that weird, like, I don't even know what to call it, the poop hair, where it's like in a big old twist and it's just off to one side, it's just kind of there. You know what I'm talking about? And then the guys just kind of like have don't even know what to call it. Not even a coconut head. They look like little boys, and it's just it's so they all look so. They have fluffy hair. They look like teenage versions of 2NE1. So because they have like the spikes and stuff, and you're like, don't you look like little kids? It's adorable. and then you get to a song like Alone, and they're all wearing the red dresses, and they're all, you know, being sexy, and I'm like, oh my gosh. You can tell when the generation changed from generation 2 style to like generation 3 style. It's a very drastic change.
Definitely. And I was watching some of their live stages. Mm-hmm. And you, like I said, you very rarely see them in heels. They're the only girl group that I get a little scared when I see them dancing around in heels, because they seem very, their heels seem pretty big, and they seem very, like, I don't know, seasoned enough is the right word, but I don't know, watching them dance, my heart beats a little faster because I'm worried that something's going to happen to them. They don't feel like that comfortable with those heels. Some of them do.
Yeah, because some of them are wearing like boots or flats or something, but those heels, and as a female walking in those heels, I know how freaking hard it is on your ankles, you know. And it's just, I do like seeing them perform with like the chunkier heel, because the chunkier heel is less likely to like snap on you. But when they wear those like stilettos and they're over 6 inches, it's a bit terrifying. Also, something else I kind of liked about SISTAR is that they actually let them have their like natural darker skin tone. Because in K-pop, in Asian society, they have this, they like the paler skin, and it is what it is. But I kind of liked how, especially, Hyorin, she, I think she even got like flack from it because they were, people are mean, let me just say that. But she was darker, and I was like, but they look so gorgeous with like the non-bleached out skin, you know, because a lot of groups do that. It's super frustrating. But they seem to not do it as much. Also, she has tattoos, which is also kind of a how to put it, it's kind of Asian, a lot of Asian countries, and I know South Korea is one of them, they don't like to tattoos in society, because tattoos are associated with like thugs and delinquents. And that's why if you watch Korean shows, you can see that some of the artists, they have like these sleeves on, or they have bandages or a lot of makeup on, and because they're covering their tattoos, because you can't, a lot of shows, you're not allowed to appear on TV if you have tattoos, so they have to cover them. And that's why a lot of rappers, they cover them when they go on TV shows and stuff. And so I was like, I'm very surprised that they let her, you know, run around with their belly shirts when she has that giant cross tattoo on her stomach and then the one on her arm. Mm-hmm. So I was like, Starship was really just letting them do, like, they were not following social norms with them.
Like I said, I don't think they knew any better. She is Hyorin is definitely like a major star. Mm-hmm. Like, she is like a superstar in that group, and you know, I'm sure they just wanted her, once she started to shine, I'm sure they just wanted her to do whatever she wanted to do. I love the fact that she embraced her darker skin, because you don't really see that a lot in K-pop, and a lot of even with Wonder Girls, who I love, they are my favorite group, but Yubin from Wonder Girls, her skin is darker than the other members, and she always got flack for that, or felt ashamed of that a little bit. And then when they toured America loved Yubin. They loved her for that. So seeing how SISTAR, like how she how Hyorin embraces her darker skin and her tattoos and like flaunts them out, Like, she has some gumption. And this is, like, towards the beginning of their debut. Or not the beginning, but, like, in the middle of their debut is when it really seemed to be emphasized. Now she can do whatever she wants to, but it's she is definitely a person that leads the way, I guess you can say. And I can definitely understand why she would want to, when her contract was up, why she would want to go solo.
Yeah, I completely understand that because a lot of groups, especially the second geners, a lot of them do try to go solo. They try to leave their old company and they try to make their own company because that's really how they survive. If they really enjoy singing and performing and they don't want to be an actor or an actress or anything, they kind of have to do that, it feels like. Because it's most of them, because companies, and it's kind of sad to say this, but it's kind of true just from viewing it. Companies abandon their older groups because they no longer appeal to the target demographic, just with like pop music in general too over here, because K-pop is kind of viewed as a teenager thing, and so a lot of these girls, when they get to, because she's 30, and when they get to a certain age, they call them, they're too old for K-pop. And so these companies, if they're focusing on K-pop groups, then they kind of like abandon the older groups to just, you know, do it yourself. So and then they focus on the younger groups. And there is a particular person, which we talked about 2NE1. And the 2NE1 CL was abandoned by her company, and we already talked about that, and I'm sorry to bring it up again, but it just is what companies do over there, that when you get too old, quote unquote, they abandon you. And so the smart thing to do is just to go find a different label or create your own, you know. And that's what she did, and that's what CL did, so, and that's what all of 2NE1 did, the ones who are still alive, you know, because that's what you kind of have to do to survive. You know, and it's sad, but that's just how the industry works over there, because they only focus on the younger demographic. And once you're out of that demographic, they don't care about you anymore. Even they don't even care if you're still popular. They just abandon you for whatever reason, you know?
Yeah. And it's tough if you get like attached to a group, you know, under a certain label, and they become your group. And then when that label is like, hey, here's this new group of new youngsters, is like, I don't care about them. I already got my group. Let's promote them more.
Yeah, but then deep down, you know, you're like, and my group's going to be ignored now. Great.
Yep.
And it's sad, because there was another group that I loved, and then all of a sudden they just no more promotions, and we're like, okay. You know? And that group was FX. And because they still had 6 years. And then we had no more comebacks, but I will go into that when we talk about FX, because that, you know, that's a whole other thing. But yeah, Sistar, I love them. They were very unconventional, and not like crazy unconventional, but they were super unique. Like, you knew who they were, you know, and they played with their own strengths. And they weren't wearing those crazy heels most of the time during performances. And they just seemed like they're having fun, even in their music videos, like the outdoorsy ones when they're outside. Those are my favorite music videos from them, because it just seems like they're having a freaking blast, because they're running around, setting off sparklers, they're swimming in the, you know, pool, they're just having fun, you know. They do still do.
I've never wanted to jump into a Jeep with a bunch of K-pop stars more than I did in one of those videos, when they just kind of pull up and grab one from work and they go off on their adventures. I'm like, I want to do that. I want a group of girlfriends that I can just go around like that. That's fun.
Yeah, it would be fun. And then like, it's just, it seems like fun. And then just, I love it. And you don't even, you can tell that they didn't have a lot of money from their company in some of these music videos. And I think that is a way to cut corners is, or cut costs, I should say, is to do it outside. Then again, I don't know much about, you know, filming and whatnot, but it kind of seems like it would be a, because you don't have a set and you don't have to hire props or anything. Because in one of them, they're just skating down the, and I didn't really like the music video for that one too much, but like, no, actually. And they're like just skating down a sidewalk, and then they're doing a, they're on grass and they're doing a dance in the skates on the grass. I'm like, I don't know how that could be expensive. So like, I feel like that's what their company did to cut costs, and it worked because it just, it made it fun for the people watching. And because it's just like, oh yeah, I could go do that with my friends if I had friends to go do that with. All of my friends are guys, so I don't think they'd want to go skating with me, but you know, it just seems like fun. And then you get the sexy music video again, so it's just,
yeah, there was one video, I can't remember which one it was, so forgive me, it's one that they filmed in Paris, and it is gorgeous. Like, you can tell by when you get to the end of the video, you can see it was like a promotion between, or a collaboration between Sistar and whatever that whatever this famous hotel was in Paris. But the video is like them outside of the Eiffel Tower and inside of the hotel, and it is absolutely gorgeous. It is like one of the most beautiful videos that I've seen from Sistar. So I can't remember the name of it, but I think it came towards the end of their career. But it's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. So they probably didn't spend a lot of money on the other videos and probably saved it all up for that that collaboration with the Paris video.
Yeah, let's see, Paris one. I don't remember which one that is, but and it was an outdoor one. It might have been, was it I Swear?
It might have been. It was one of the comebacks, definitely. So yeah, I think that might have been it.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, I just got to be smart. Your company's got to be smart. And then you can do amazing with like, no, it was, it was Lonely is the music video. Lonely. Yeah, because they're like outside eating and you can see that they're walking around the shops with Paris. And, or not
was,
Paris. It's walking
that was
around
their
the
last.
Yeah, it was their last music video.
That's why. Okay. Like, we're going to go out with a bang, folks.
Yeah, we're going to do a thing for a hotel. That looks like a great, beautiful hotel, though.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. But yeah, it's bittersweet, sad. I'm always sad when groups disband, but you got to find a new favorite at that point or follow their solo careers, because K-pop groups do not last forever. They last for maybe like 7 years or more if you're lucky, but it's just sad.
Yeah, I think most of the standard contracts are 7 years. So usually right when they're at that 6 year anniversary, that's when everyone starts to go, okay, what's going to happen? How is this year going to play?
Hopefully we get through the, hopefully, you know, and so it's sad, but they disbanded because one of them wanted to go solo, and so they did, and they had to. I guess in their contract, they said that if one of the members wanted to leave, then they would disband completely. So, and one of them wanted to leave, so that's why they disbanded. So it's nice to finally hear like they disbanded because one member just wanted to go solo or something, and not because they hated each other or, you know, they're being abused by their company. Because that's always my fear with these groups. I'm like, please don't be being, you know, please let your company not be douchebags. Please. You know, because Oh my gosh. Second generation. Oh my gosh, those idols. They went through some stuff. But luckily they were on the tail end of that, so they missed a lot of that crap. But yeah.
One thing I will say about their somewhat disbandment is that, you know, they kind of warned, not warned, but they gave like a indication that it was going to happen. You know, like they didn't, it's not like the company just stopped promoting them and everyone was like, what's going on with the group? What's going on with the group for years and years? They said, you know, this is going to be the last song. And they got to do like a little farewell, like stage on all the different shows, which I thought was really cool. I remember that happening. But because I wasn't like a Sistar fan at the time, it didn't really, I understood how rare that was, that a group gets to say goodbye to their fans.
Yeah.
And do like a medley of their songs, which I thought was pretty cool. But it didn't really, you know, it didn't have any weight for me because I wasn't that big of a fan back then. But yeah, that's really cool. I wish that it would have been really nice if FX got to do that. FX got to go around and do like, here's a medley of all of our hit songs. Goodbye, everyone.
Yeah, I mean, at least 2NE1 had a farewell thing, too. They came back together and did a farewell thing. It was bittersweet because they had already, you know, disbanded already at that time. But it was still nice to see them appear as a group one last time. It's still sad. But, yeah, and it's just, like I said, I'm happy it was just because someone wanted to go solo, and it was just kind of, it wasn't any hard feelings with each other or anything like that, or their company was douchey, you know. At least it wasn't anything like that, because it wasn't the worst case scenario. But it's still sad because you're like, we'll never get any new music from the whole group, and that's just kind of, you know. But that's what happens. Nothing lasts forever, so you got to enjoy them while they're there, you know. And it is what it is. You can always support them by watching their movies and TV shows. You know?
Yeah, and they had multiple comebacks, so there's plenty of music for you to hold on to, even if taking away all of their separate solo stuff and soundtrack work. You know, just the regular Sistar catalog is plenty of music.
Yeah, it's great. I still highly enjoy it, and like I said, it's getting there in age. Well, some of it's getting there in age, but yeah, they're great, and they are very fun summer hits type songs. Most K-pop, the lyrics, they're not super deep lyrics, but come on. You know, sometimes you just need to go and have a good time listening to a great, you know, poppy song. And have some fun. You don't always need to have the super deep lyrics and, you know, like, oh, that really makes me think. Nah, sometimes it's just good to have fun, you know? And just appreciate, you know, all their hard work that they put into it and their vocals, and just, you know, just appreciate everything that they do, because they really put their heart and soul into it, like these groups, all of them do. They work their tails off.
what are some of your favorite Sistar songs, or even the even the solo songs? Like, what are some of your favorite jams?
So I like Bay a lot, because it's just fun. I also like that Shake It, Touch My Body, and Alone are my favorite songs. I have a lot of their, most of their songs are my favorite songs, but those are like the top ones. So what about you?
There's one song, there's a bunch of songs, but there's one song that is, it's not a Sistar song. It's Hyrene's, she actually collaborates with a lot of people too. She collaborated with Bumkey and Juyoung for a song called Love Line. That is one of my favorite K-pop songs ever. Like, when I discovered that song, I listened to it 100 times that week. And I had no idea that she was in Sistar. I'm like, man, this girl is really good. And I follow like some of her solo stuff, but I had no idea she was in Sistar. So that that song is one of my favorites, and I like that is it's so unique and so like you can't really it doesn't really match with any other K-pop song, but it's so good. It's so, so good. And that's one that like really recently really got under my skin. I liked it before, but now I'm like, oh God, I absolutely love that song. They also do a bunch of ballads for soundtracks, which I discovered when I put it in Spotify and next song comes on and next song comes on. I'm like, whoa, there's a lot of ballads. And then I go to look at the album and it's like, oh, it's Soyou from Sistar singing this ballad. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so good. So their ballads are really good. And Touch My Body, of course, that's just a classic.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And any other final thoughts on just the group in general?
Yeah. You know, I did a deeper dive for the show, and I was really impressed with their versatility. You know, even though they're Queens of the Summer and their summer songs are definitely like kind of poppy and fun and light, they can do a bunch of different things. And I really enjoyed getting into their deep catalog. They have some amazing B-sides, so I would strongly suggest definitely checking them out. Their debut stuff is good, but definitely check out some of their middle stuff. And they also team up with DJs to make really crazy remixes, and their remixes are good too. So I'm a huge fan of Sistar right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree. Sistar is definitely one of those groups that you just really need to just plug yourself in. Don't even look for, you know, just the A sides. Just listen to the remixes and take time, just plop them in, just listen, because they seduce your ears is what I want to say. You know, they're really good, and they do a lot of soundtracks, and they're definitely a group you just close your eyes and you enjoy. And then if you really like, you know, the legs and stuff, then you check out the music videos too, because I can appreciate a good pair of legs. So but yeah, they're not just pretty faces. They are very musically talented, and they're really, really worth just to sit down and listen to all their songs. So yeah, and that's Sistar. I will miss them, but things go on. So for today's K-pop term, I'm going to actually talk about because we talk about Generation 1, Generation 2, and Generation 3. And that's because it's just easier to, because they call it, a lot of people call them like the Korean wave or whatever. Just to explain what we mean when we say they're second generation or whatever. So Generation 1 idols and then are K-pop groups that debuted in the 90s. So anybody before 2000, if their debut was before 2000, then they're a Generation 1 idol. Generation 2 idols, they're the groups that debuted from 2000 to 2010. And that's why I said Sistar is kind of like borderline, because they debuted in 2010. If they debuted 1 year later, they would have been a third generation group, but they're just right borderline, you know. Third generation are the current, not current anymore. Generation 3 are people who debuted from 2011 to, I want to say, 2018, 19, 20. It really depends. I want to say until recent. I'm going to go with 2018 because they're calling certain groups fourth generation already, and they debuted already. So, yeah. So third generation were people who debuted from 2011 to 2018. And then anyone who is like newbies, they're going to be the fourth generation. We'll see how long that is. It's a little confusing because they're not like solid round numbers, but it is what it is. So that's what we mean with generation. It's just like a different wave. I think it's more of like when styles drastically change in like in music and even in style. That's when they switch the generations, because the fourth generation groups don't really look like the third generation groups. It's it's a whole thing. It's fun because I like watching the groups grow up. I'm like, oh, they're such little babies, and you like seeing the styles change. But I'm a weirdo and I like looking at like cultural stuff like that. It's just fun to me.
Yeah, Sistar is a prime example if you want to see the differences between second generation and third generation. Just watch their first video, mm-hmm. and then just skip for like 2 years and watch a video from that point. It's a world of difference. It's like two totally different generations, even though it's the same group.
Yeah. And because second generation, everyone looked like they just fell out of an anime. It's true. It is. It's true. But yeah, that's that. It's just, I don't know. It's how we catalog things. You get used to it. But thank you, guys. And Mark, what do you have coming up with your podcasts?
Oh, yeah. So we are doing my other podcast is Soul Wizard Podcast. We usually do like movie reviews, but since movie theaters are shut down right now, we're we're partly doing movies that are on Netflix. So we've been doing big releases from Netflix, like The Old Guard and Warrior Nun. Coming soon, we're going to be doing, for our Patreon episode, we're going to be doing Hamilton, which is really fun because I love it as a musical, because I'm a musical person. My co-host, not so much. So it's going to be a fun experiment to see how they deal with Hamilton. But that's what we got coming up on Soul Wizard Podcast.
Awesome. And once again, for everyone who doesn't know, I'm also on the Definitive Crusade, where we talk about DC comics. I get angry a lot during those podcasts, which is completely different from this, because I, you know, K-pop doesn't really make me angry most of the time. So check that out. And I would like to thank you once again for joining us on K-pop Cosmos, and I hope you have a great rest of the month.
Bye, everybody.